Broadcasting live from Camelback Ranch, spring training home of the Dodgers.
This team has the chemistry to win the World Championship.
This is Dodger Talk.
Got a good lineup.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MARK.
Same day cash, 7 days a week.
866-987-2570.
The exclusive home of the Dodgers.
Here's your host, David Vassay.
Welcome to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. David Vassay with you until 9 o'clock on Nissan Dodger Talk. This is our only show of the week, so this is your only opportunity to call in and have your Dodger voice heard this week at 866-987-2570 and pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up later in the show, you'll hear my conversations with Clayton Kershaw, Logan Forsythe, and Charlie Culberson. Plus, we'll give you the latest on our World Baseball Classic Minute, and we'll let you know what kind of shenanigans, yeah, that's right, I used that word, shenanigans, went on in the Dodger clubhouse this morning before they went out for their workout and their game against the Cincinnati Reds. And if we have time, and that's all up to you whether or not you participate tonight, I will give my top 10 list for former Dodgers currently on the Angels and former Dodgers on the Marlins, because there are many closet listeners to Dodger Talk, not only from players and coaches that are currently on the team, but I know there's some closet podcasters out there that are interested in the Dodgers and what I have to say. So if we have time, I'll needle some people and give you my top 10 list, and they'll be wondering why they're not at the top. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Like I mentioned today, the Dodgers did have a game here at Camelback Ranch, and they did beat the Cincinnati Reds, who brought over some quality players, including Joey Votto. The Dodgers beat them 6-5 thanks to a 6-run fourth inning when the Dodgers had their regulars in. Yasmani Grandal continues a very good spring at the plate, hitting a home run, and Logan Forsythe with an RBI double, and he leads all Dodgers in batting average in spring training with a .500 batting average. So I'd say already he's paying off dividends, and I'll let you hear from Logan a little bit later in the show and maybe just a peek into what everybody was gushing about when they acquired him and what's been the key to his success in his first spring training with the Dodgers. But I want to get to the pitching for the Dodgers, because I feel like I have a pulse on their rotation, but I don't really have a pulse on their bullpen and the seven guys they may take with them on opening day. But today, Rich Hill pitched 3 2/3 innings, did not give up an earned run, but being around him when he walked off the field today and into the Dodger clubhouse, you could tell that he was not happy with the way he pitched today. And I would say that would be the case for each of his spring starts so far with the Dodgers. And I'll let you hear what Rich Hill told me after the game as far as what's going on with him and what he feels he needs to work on.
Physically, I feel great, yeah. I feel really good physically. I think mechanically and just getting more conviction behind the fastball is really the biggest step now moving forward.
Are you happier with this one than you were with your previous ones as far as getting closer to that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there were some good breaking balls. I felt like there were a few good fastballs in there, but you know, overall, it's still a work in progress for sure.
And Rich is one of the fiercest competitors amongst the Dodger starters. There's only one other guy I would compare him to, or say that he is better than Rich, and that's Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw and Rich Hill remind me of each other. The only difference is I think Rich knows how to disconnect, but Clayton has a more difficult time trying to disconnect from the mound from when he gets into the clubhouse. And once he walks out of the stadium, I think he lets it go. But knowing him, being around him on the road, it's difficult for him to completely let it go. But he does when he leaves the stadium, but it's a little bit more difficult while he's there. And if you look at Rich Hill's career, he's been telling all of us this spring training he never seems to have a good spring training. And he's right. In his 12 years in spring trainings, his ERA is 5.88. And even with the A's last year, it wasn't pretty. And you saw the career year that he had last year that got him that three-year deal with $45-plus million the Dodgers gave him. So I'm not too concerned about Rich Hill and what kind of spring training he's having. He's not a guy that's going to rest on his laurels just because he got a three-year guaranteed deal. And I think Ned Coletti, the former Dodger GM now on Sportsnet LA and who will be chiming in on Dodger Talk this season, I think he put it best. When I was on the show the last week, I basically said you would think there was no pressure on Rich this spring because he finally has a guaranteed spot. But Ned took it a step further and said, yeah, he doesn't have that type of pressure of trying to make the team, but maybe he has a different kind of pressure, the responsibility pressure of living up to that contract. And I think that's true to a certain extent, and hopefully that doesn't carry over into the regular season because nobody will question Rich Hill's work ethic or commitment or character to not try to live up to that contract. And maybe that different type of pressure is playing into his spring training so far. But Rich is a very intelligent guy, understands a lot of different things about pitching, advanced things about pitching, analytical things about pitching. And he got a little bit into it with me early in the spring and basically said, too, part of it is the density of the air here in Arizona. I know that sounds a little bit over analytical, but he's right. This is the second highest elevation of any place the Dodgers will play in baseball. The first one, as you know, is Coors Field in Denver. So you got to take that into account with a guy that relies on his curveball. And also, too, don't forget, too, the reason why he got that severe blister, and when I say blister, it certainly wasn't. It was a wound, and we talked about that the first day he got with the Dodgers at Coors Field. Part of the reason, too, I'm sure he's not trying to push it with the curveballs is he doesn't want to start developing those blisters or calluses during spring training, and that's part of the reason why you heard what he wants to do is work on his fastball command more than the curveball. That's going to be there, but the fastball command he wants to have. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. And from talking to guys, talking to Dave Roberts, trying to decipher the way he's using pitchers and the way he's lining up pitchers, this is my educated guess on who the starting five will be when they come out of spring training. Kershaw, Maeda, Hill, Alex Wood, and Brandon McCarthy. Those are my five that will start the season, and I think a lot of people are starting to feel that way considering Scott Kazmir had that injury hiccup for a day or two, and he seemingly is trying to search for some mechanical answers, and I don't think he's getting them. Just from observing him in the bullpen, he just doesn't seem to really be straight with what he wants to do. And you hear that word conviction this spring with pitches. I'm not sure if he has any conviction behind any of his pitches at this point in time. So I believe that he and Ryu will be brought along slowly for different reasons. Ryu, because he hasn't competed outside of that one hiccup start, one tryout start last year at 100% in nearly 2 years. I think they're going to take it slow with him. And I firmly believe, going back to what Dave Roberts was saying back in January about Julio Urias, that he is going to be held back for extended spring training to try to conserve his innings. Do you agree with that? 866-987-2570, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Who would be your starting five, and would you hold back Urias at the start of the season? Last time I checked, games in April count as much as they do at the end of the season. The difference here is the Dodgers don't want Urias just ready for September. They want him ready for the postseason as well, so I understand where they're coming from with that line of thinking. 866-987-2570, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Also, the biggest news of camp so far is the Corey Seager injury. It went from a back injury to an oblique strain now, which is considerably more serious than an upper back stiffness type of injury. And I tweeted this out last week. I don't see him playing for the next 2 weeks in a game here in Arizona, and I would be surprised if he played before the last five here in Arizona as well. And you never know with these oblique injuries. They do linger. I've mentioned this before, talking to Rick Monday and Mark Gubazaw, who've competed at the highest levels in this game, and I'm sure they both experienced something similar to this. Oblique strains are very dangerous because you may think you've got it behind you, and then all of a sudden you throw one pitch or you take one swing and it's back. If there's one guy the Dodgers cannot afford to lose for a long period of time offensively, it's Corey Seager. You look back at all the players that got injured last year. I've mentioned this several times as well. The infield of Gonzalez, Utley, Seager, and Turner never got hurt for the majority of the season. They did not miss considerable time. And I think that is part of the reason why the Dodgers were able to stay afloat despite setting a major league record for using 55 different players. I like the Dodgers taking it slow with Corey Seager. There is no reason to rush him. He missed like 17, 20 games last year with a knee issue in spring training, and you saw what he did last year. He's one of those players that doesn't need that much spring training to be the season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue live from Camelback Ranch on Nissan Dodger Talk, I'll let you hear my conversations with Clayton Kershaw and Logan Forsythe. Coming up later in the show, you'll hear from Dave Roberts, and we'll give you the latest as far as the World Baseball Classic goes. Don't forget, the semifinals and finals will be at Dodger Stadium beginning March 20th, and you could get tickets at Dodgers.com/WBC. More Nissan Dodger Talk live from Glendale, Arizona on AM 570 LA Sports. David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. This is Nissan Dodger Talk with you until 9 o'clock tonight on AM 570 LA Sports. Phone number tonight is 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Dodgers beat the Reds today 6-5. Tomorrow they will take on the Seattle Mariners in Peoria. Brandon McCarthy will start the game. Julio Urias will piggyback him, similar to the game last Friday that McCarthy started and looked really good, pitching three scoreless innings and pretty sharp with all his pitches. Thursday, the Dodgers will host the Cubs here at Camelback Ranch. Hyunjin Ryu will make that start, and you can hear that game right here on AM 570 LA Sports, beginning at 12:30 with Dodgers on deck. Petros and Money and that whole listener plane Southwest charter will be coming out here and be here for the game. And on Friday, on St. Patrick's Day, the Dodgers have two night games, split squad, here in Camelback Ranch against the Chicago White Sox. And the other is going to Peoria again, this time to take on the San Diego Padres. You can hear the game against the White Sox on AM 570 LA Sports. And Dodgers on deck begins at 6:30 on Friday night. First pitch at 7:05. Kershaw is scheduled to start one of those two games. I would assume, since he is the ace and gets to choose, he would rather pitch the home game rather than driving to Peoria to pitch against the Padres. So I would think, logically, Kershaw, you'll hear that game on AM 570, and Alex Wood will be going to Peoria to face the San Diego Padres. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Speaking of Clayton Kershaw, I finally got a chance to catch up with the Dodger ace, and it was a short conversation, but it centered around his pitching coach, Rick Honeycutt, who may or may not be entering his final season as the Dodger pitching coach, because remember, when he signed his extension, there was an agreement that he would be the coach, pitching coach, for two or three more years and then become kind of a pitching advisor for the organization. So I talked to Clayton Kershaw about the only pitching coach he's known in the major leagues. Thanks a lot for the time. I know it's very hard to get you during spring training, so I'm glad I reeled you in.
Anything for you, Dave.
Clayton, your 10th season in the big leagues, there's been a lot of change over those 10 years, but the one constant has been your pitching coach, Rick Honeycutt. How much has he meant to you during all this time of really constant change during your career?
I love Honey. You know, Honey's been, like you said, he's been there for the whole time, and you know, it's a testament to him. You know, he's had the best pitching staff in baseball the past 10 years, and you know, it's a lot of hard work. You know, he puts in the time, puts in the effort, watches the video, really just wants everybody to succeed. You know, he really feels it when you fail, and he really enjoys it when you succeed, and just a great guy, and fortunate to have had him for that long.
Is it just the organic evolution, how close you guys are and how much you trust him, or was there one point early on in your career where there was a moment that you said, this guy can really help me?
Well, you know, coming in, he was already pretty, you know, well-established as being one of the better pitching coaches, and, you know, he really helped me out early, and nothing's changed. You know, he really is he's a good person to bounce ideas off of or to talk mechanics or pitching, you know, scouting reports or whatever it is. He's just it's a multifaceted pitching coach, I guess you could say. So it's a big luxury for us to have him.
Is he more important to you now without having a guy like AJ to bounce things off of this spring and how you're trying to develop maybe a new pitch like the changeup or anything that you're trying to do?
I think every year is kind of the same. You know, obviously AJ was great back there because he had worked with me so much. But, you know, Yaz and I will get there too, and he's been throwing with him a lot. And so it's, you know, everybody's kind of on the same page as far as what we need to do to get guys out. And, you know, I don't think too much has changed as far as the importance of Honey.
Is it a big adjustment for you, or is it strange to not have AJ two lockers down from you for the first time in a very long time in spring training?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, AJ's been a Dodger his whole career, so I'm sure it was difficult for him to go to different spring training, and likewise for me, he was always right there. So, you know, it's part of the game, unfortunately. It's just the way it goes, and we had a good run, though, so, you know, we can't take that for granted.
Clayton Kershaw is our guest. Clayton, you faced the San Francisco Giants the last time you were on the mound here in Arizona. They've had the same lineup that's won three World Series, been together for a long time. Does their lineup continuity give you any challenges that maybe other teams don't?
Well, I think any time, you know, the hitters have the advantage the more times they see you. There's no doubt about that. You know, I think if a guy sees you over and over again, they've got a pretty good idea of how the ball is going to come out and, you know, even what you'd like to do or what works and good game plans, all that stuff. So it's up to us as pitchers to, you know, not necessarily reinvent, but think about different ways to get guys out. Or, you know, sometimes you can be stubborn and stick with your strength. That works. So just depends on the hitter, depends on the situation. But I think any pitcher will tell you, or any hitter will tell you, the more times I see a pitcher, the more comfortable they are, for sure.
Clayton Kershaw is our guest. Andre Ethier is still a couple of lockers down from you right now, has more tenure time than you, the only guy that does in this clubhouse. When you look at what he went through and what you went through, can you appreciate how much he missed the game and what he's done to get back to this level?
Yeah, I mean, Dre, you know, I think Dre would tell you that missing that whole season last year kind of put things into perspective of how much he likes to play the game. And, you know, he's coming to camp, looks great. So it's definitely a testament to him and what he's been able to do. And, you know, excited to watch him play this season.
All right, Clayton, thanks a lot for the time, and we'll talk to you during the regular
season. Good stuff,
Bessie. Yeah, we'll think about it.
Yes, that interview did end abruptly, thanks to Justin Turner for another interview bomb on me. And things were wrapping up here as far as media availability in the clubhouse, and that's the way Kershaw plays it. He plans his workout during the media availability so he doesn't get bombarded, and then shows up the last 4 minutes to answer whatever questions you may have. So I appreciate him taking the time out, and I always enjoy talking to him. And I accept him for who he is. He's a fierce competitor, and I don't take anything personally after games because I understand what type of DNA and athlete and competitor he is, and that's fine. I've been around a lot of good ones before, and a lot of them handle it a lot differently, and that's fine the way he wants to handle it, and I have no issues with it, and I enjoy talking to him. And I'd say I've gotten closer to him over the last, 2013 was the first time we broke bread together, and we shared nachos, and I felt like that was our breakthrough. If you want to use an analogy. But I love Kershaw, and I'll say this. you know, we take it for granted that he is going to be as dominant as he has been. And that's just not the case. It doesn't last forever. It didn't last forever for Koufax, Gibson, Pedro, Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, all those guys. Clemens, it doesn't last forever. So just take it every time he starts as maybe the last time. I'm not saying that's the case, but I think us as observers, as fans, that's the way you want to do it because you'll appreciate it more. And if you want to put in context, again, what he's doing on opening day, his seventh consecutive opening day start, that ties a Dodger franchise record for most consecutive opening day starts and most consecutive starts, period. Don Sutton had also seven consecutive starts, and Don Drysdale had seven total as well. And Kershaw will tie both of those men when he takes the mound at Dodger Stadium against the Padres on April 3rd. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. And one guy that Kershaw is going to appreciate himself is Logan Forsythe and the way he plays. Remember when we were talking about whether or not the Dodgers were going to trade for Brian Dozier or Logan Forsythe? Well, when I was at the winter meetings, you know, I polled some American League managers about that, and they said, yeah, Dozier has the power. He's a good player. But a lot of them told me they felt like Logan Forsythe was a better all-around player. And I think we've seen that already in spring training. He leads all Dodger hitters with the highest batting average. He's hitting 500, drove in another run today with an RBI double in that six-run fourth inning against the Reds today, and had a chance to catch up with the new Dodger second baseman.
Yeah, Dad, thanks for having me.
What's it been like for you so far this spring? Because it doesn't seem like you're trying to do too much. When a player comes to a new team, it seems like they get in that trap of trying to press. How have you been able to stay away from that?
I learned a little while ago that, you know, pressure's not your friend in this game.
Yeah.
There's plenty of it as the season goes on. But I think once you get older in this game, you get a little bit more experience. You kind of understand how to prepare yourself for the season once, you know, spring starts. So the biggest thing for me is just I've been trying to get to know the guys. I've been trying to mesh well, jump in with these core group of guys, and try to help out and see how the thing is ran. So I mean, my biggest thing right now is just to try to be as consistent as I can and be a good teammate.
You talk about trying to mesh with some of these guys. You have hitting groups. You guys are together during spring training. Do you try to change the hitting group, or do you like to stay with the two or three guys that you've been with?
No, you know, I mean, whatever groups they have us in, we kind of just let the staff deal with that. But no, I mean, you know, I've gotten out there and kind of done some early work with some guys. You know, that's how you kind of mix up groups. You kind of get in with, and I think they do a good enough job with that, you know, letting us play together. You know, JT and I got back out on the field again yesterday together. And, you know, having guys sit behind you, how it's going to be, you know, kind of in season, things like that. But, I mean, as the spring's long as it is, yeah, I mean, there's going to be plenty of opportunity.
Does this spring feel a little bit longer since the game started pretty quickly after you got here?
No, it hadn't been too bad. You know, I think with the trade and, you know, getting everything moved out here, it seems like it started a little earlier.
Yeah.
Because we were moving for spring training really early. I mean, shortly after the trade happened. So in that aspect it has. But when it comes to games and kind of how the body's feeling, we're on the right path.
Going back to the meshing part of it, everybody was making a big deal about you and Corey trying to get on the same page for those double plays. Does him being injured and not doing the work affect any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say to some point, you know, I was actually able to get out there with him before the injury happened. So I saw his movements a little bit. And, you know, I've seen him in the game. I've seen kind of how he thinks and how he kind of moves and, you know, adjusts to hitters like that. So, the injury sucks,
yeah,
but it's I think he's making progress, which is, you know, the best thing right now, and there's no need to push it. I mean, once he gets healthy, he'll get plenty of at-bats or the more at-bats he needs, and we'll have time.
Logan Forsythe is our guest, and Corey's a guy, like all of you, that are taking a lot of swings out here. I was curious, from your standpoint, is too many swings hurtful to you, or do you try to measure how many you take in a day? Because it seems like all you guys do is work and are in the cage and swinging the bat.
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer because each guy's different. You know, I've learned that too many swings can, you know, it can get you into a slump. You can hit your way into a slump. And I think the quality of the work is more than the quantity. So, and a lot of young guys, you know, sometimes you got to kind of reel them back in and tell them, you know, day in and day out, it's great to see you working and, you know, taking more swings and taking more ground balls. But it comes to a point to where you're breaking your body down even more and more and more. And that's where injuries start to pop up, this and that. And nobody can do anything injured. So I think it's a fine line. I think you get out here and put as much work as you possibly can in. Put your early work in, your late work. But you got to do it in a smart way.
I know you were in a different position when you started your career with the Padres, and you had to prove yourself. So that's kind of a tough thing for a younger player, right?
Absolutely, and that's kind of what I'm speaking to is when I was back then, I thought, you know, there wasn't enough swings. You know, there wasn't enough ground balls. And you know, I paid for it. You know, I had some kind of freak injuries. I had some things that, you know, set me back in my career a little bit. But that's something I learned from, and, you know, something I can maybe tell some of these young guys. So, you know, it happens for a reason.
Logan, it's been fun to watch you so far in spring training. Can't wait for when the real games start on April 3rd. Thanks a lot for the time.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Logan Forsythe, the Dodgers second baseman, you're going to really enjoy watching him play because he's not a guy that swings for the fences, is not a power-hitting guy. He just plays the game the right way, and that's why I've enjoyed him so far in spring training, and he's going to be good for the Dodgers, not only offensively, but defensively, and he's already shown that in spring training so far. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Whittier. Alfonso, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Basset. Hi, Alfonso.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Doing great.
I'm taking my young boys out to spring training this week, and they're incredibly excited. They're making their signs. They're getting ready for the games. We have tickets to the games, but I wanted to ask your advice. What are the one or two things that we should do while we're in Camelback at the stadium there?
All right, yeah. Thanks for the phone call, Alfonso. Well, number one, you want to come to Camelback Ranch early. I would say for a 1 o'clock game, I wouldn't get here no later than 11. And you want to come out to the backfields, watch the guys take batting practice, watch them do some of their drills, because that's the cool part and how close you could be to these guys, watching them do their work. And you might be lucky enough to get an autograph. Now, there's an area where most of the people hang out, and that's where the Dodger bullpen area is and connecting to field two. And that's the way a lot of players like to go back to the clubhouse. Don't stand there if you want an autograph. Guys, people are lined 4, 5, 6 deep. It's just a madhouse. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is hang out by field one, because there's a lot less of a crowd there, and you might have a better chance of at least getting an autograph. It may not be the star player that you want, but you may get Tommy Lasorda, a Hall of Famer, walking by. And by the way, Tommy signs daily by his bobblehead at Camelback Ranch, so you want to do that. And you really want to get here early before the game to enjoy all of that. As far as other things, too, there's great stuff along the walkways that separate the White Sox and Dodgers camp that you could see that the Dodgers have put up, as far as some of the signage that marks former All-Stars at different positions. You might want to take a look at that. And also, the minor league field is open to the public as well. If you want to take a peek at some of the up-and-coming Dodgers and see what's going on there, I strongly recommend you doing that, because that's a unique experience that you don't get during the regular season, to see the young minor leaguers. Only here at Dodger Camp at Camelback Ranch can you do that. Now, if you want to eat after, I will tell you this. Phoenix is one of the sleeper pizza cities in all of America. Having the fortune to travel with the Dodgers the last 5 years, I would say Phoenix is the third best pizza city in all of the country. And that's including Los Angeles. New York, Chicago, Phoenix. Those are my top three pizza cities, and three really good pizza places you want to go to here in Phoenix, in the area. And there's one really close to the Dodger camp, is Grimaldi's. Went there tonight for dinner with Andy McCullough from the LA Times. We had dinner there earlier before I came here for the show. Another place is on the east side. It's called The Parlor. You want to go there. That's a great pizza place, too. And the other is called Cibo, C-I-B-O. It's a converted house in downtown Phoenix. I'm going there for dinner tomorrow night, and it's all thin crust. All these three places I'm telling you about is thin crust. So that's what Phoenix has to offer food-wise. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. So there you go. Gave you your food tips for spring training this year as well. When we come back on Nissan Dodger Talk, I'll let you know how Kenta Maeda's interpreter rallied the troops before they went out for their workout and for their game, and we'll give you an update on the World Baseball Classic. And if we have time, I will list my top 10 former Dodgers on the Marlins and Angels, if we have time, because there are so many closet listeners on different teams. So I'll throw that out there, too, to stir it up. More Nissan Dodger Talk with David Basset live from Camelback Ranch right here on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Basset live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, where the Dodgers today beat the Cincinnati Reds 6-5. The next Dodger broadcast on AM570 LA Sports will be Thursday as the Dodgers host the Cubs here in Glendale, Arizona. Hyunjin Ryu will be starting that game for the Dodgers tomorrow in Peoria against the Mariners. Brandon McCarthy will start that game, and Julio Urias will come in at some point in relief. And Friday night also will be heard on AM570 LA Sports. The Dodgers against the Chicago White Sox, and we expect Clayton Kershaw to make that start. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. And earlier today, our very own Vic the Brick went on with Petros and Money and basically let it be known to everybody the fight he's going in against, and that's colon cancer. And just want to send my best to Vic, who I've worked with since 1998. Yeah, he's known me since I was an intern and I was 20 years old. So me and Vic have been in close quarters with each other for a very long time, working side by side. And I remember Vic when he had a typewriter. That's how far back we go. And yes, the computers were available to him, but he still used typewriters. But we love Vic, and if you want to post a message of well wishes to him, you could go to am570lasports.com. Justin Turner and Yasiel Puig already did that, and you could see their videos online at am570lasports.com as well. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. I did send the video and the audio, what Dave Roberts had to say this morning, to Vic the Brick to use on his updates today. And Alex Wood actually posted this on his Twitter. Will the Thrill, I guess interpreter, I forgot his last name, but Will is Kenta Maeda's translator slash interpreter, and he's become the team mascot, in Dave Roberts' words, about for the Dodgers. You've seen him in the season last year, basically dancing to get things going. I don't even know how to describe it. He's dancing just to dance, and they want him to dance, basically, and do things that excite the team in weird baseball ways. And today was another example of that. I guess he had a wager with a player or two that he could not deadlift 405 pounds. So Dave Roberts got wind of this, and he brought 405 pounds and set it up for him to do a deadlift, Olympic style, inside the Dodger clubhouse before they went out for their workout this morning. And like I said, the video is there for everybody to see, and this is what Dave Roberts had to say when he came out and spoke to the media after all of that went down in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that was our interpreter, Will the Thrill, our team mascot, and so he was challenged by a couple players that he couldn't deadlift 405 pounds. And so as I got wind of this wager bet, I wanted to see it firsthand. So we brought the weight room into the clubhouse this morning. And suffice to say, he was successful. I was more hoping But I wasn't counting on it. But he proved a lot of people in the clubhouse wrong. So good for him.
And he was done up in a one-piece wrestling suit. He was all in. And I think that's one thing you could say about Will, and that's part of the reason why the players love him so much, is because he does go all in. He's not going with one foot in. He's going both feet first and sometimes head first into whatever they want him to do. So if you're at a Dodger game this year, before first pitch, peek into the Dodger dugout if you're sitting on the first base side to see some of his dancing. And Backstage Dodgers on Sportsnet LA did a feature on him. So if you have that, check it out. But, yeah, Will knows how to rile up the team, and they know how to put him in awkward spots. And he's been an energizing, a lightning rod for them to get them going and to provide some levity to a very long season. So congratulations, Will, on deadlifting 405 pounds and being the animal that you are. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. It's time now for our World Baseball Classic Minute.
This is the WBC Minute.
Don't forget, the semifinals and finals will be at Dodger Stadium beginning on March 20th, and first pitch for all those games will be at 6 o'clock, and there is still a very good chance we may see the United States against the Dominican Republic at Dodger Stadium in the final game there. And if you want tickets, go to Dodgers.com/WBC. And if you've seen some of these games, I'm sure if you're a baseball fan, you've gotten caught up in these games. If you're like me, I was kind of blasé about the World Baseball Classic, not really interested. And now that I'm watching the games, I find myself watching all nine innings or sometimes extra innings. So I'm sure the buzz now is picking up for the World Baseball Classic, and as it all culminates at Dodger Stadium on March 20th, 21st, and 22nd, you want to get your tickets at Dodgers.com/WBC. Tonight we have some score updates for you in the World Baseball Classic. Puerto Rico is leading the Dominican Republic 3-1. Both of those teams were undefeated coming into the game tonight, and it's 3-1 Puerto Rico over the Dominican Republic in the bottom of the seventh inning. Also, too, I'm sure Kenley Jansen will have some bragging rights if this score holds up. It's early, though. Bottom of the second inning, the Netherlands are beating Cuba right now 4-0. And earlier today or overnight, Japan beat Cuba 8-5. So that's why Cuba is playing the Netherlands right now. And it's 4-0 in the bottom of the second inning, Netherlands leading Cuba. So there's your World Baseball Classic update. And also more updates. As you know, there was some controversy over Team Mexico being eliminated. So I guess that's good news for the Dodgers in a roundabout way. Adrian Gonzalez, Sergio Romo, and Alex Verdugo are expected to be back at camp tomorrow morning and participating in baseball drills, I would assume. So we'll see Adrian back, and we'll see whether or not he's calmed down, because he was very upset and outspoken over the way things went wrong for Team Mexico as far as the rules. As for the tiebreaker, for them to have the opportunity to try to beat Italy after losing to them in the first game. And I guess that's an example of how there are still major issues with the way tiebreakers are set up in this tournament. And Adrian, from what I understand, was so upset that he said he would not participate in the World Baseball Classic again. And I saw his Twitter feed, if you go to it, Sergio Romo, same thing. They were basically outraged over the fact that they thought they were advancing and or at least given the opportunity to face Team Italy in a tiebreaker game, and they were not given that opportunity, and they felt like they were robbed over it. So we'll see how it plays out for Adrian and Team Mexico when they get here tomorrow, as far as the members of the Dodgers that were on that team, Romo, Gonzalez, and Alex Verdugo. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. All right. I've never mentioned this before, but I'm sure you assume this as well. There are many closet listeners to Dodger Talk during the course of a season. And I really believe out there, there are still some closet podcasters. And the Dodgers have a lot of former players and managers and coaches on the Marlins and Angels. And I have a lot of people I consider friends, so I know there's some closet listeners out there. So here you go. These are my top Marlins right now. Tim Wallach, A.J. Ellis, because he did take me to the Bruce Springsteen concert last year here during spring training. Don Mattingly, Lorenzo Bundy, Miguel Rojas, and D. Gordon is the way my Marlins stack up. Yeah, that's right. That's the way I stacked them up, big guy. All right. And the Angels have a lot more former Dodgers and good people on their roster. Mike Socia, Dave Hansen, Ron Renicky, Dino Ebel, Tom Taylor, their traveling secretary, Eric Kay and Tim Mead, part of their PR department, Terry Smith, Mark Gubazaw, Jose Mota, and Mark Langston. That's the way it stacks up. And the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because I was getting so much heat from the people here at Dodger Camp that I was leaving early to go check out the Angels and see what they were doing, and going to see those former Dodgers that I'm pretty close to. And I have no shame in saying that. And you know what I thought was really cool? Before I started traveling with the Dodgers and covering them exclusively and doing this show, I had the opportunity to cover all the teams in L.A. I never traveled with any of them except in the postseason, but I got to know a lot of different guys with a lot of different teams because I covered them. And I used to talk to Mike Trout in spring training when he was still in the minor leagues. And to this day, he still remembers that and remembers, you know, just the relationship we form, how minimal it was. And yesterday he comes over to me, starts talking to me, and he hit this home run in batting practice that I've never seen. He hit a home run close to the base of the mountain. He must have hit it at least 500 feet. And if you go to batting practice early at Dodger Stadium, if you ever were there when Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa or Gary Sheffield or Mike Piazza were hitting batting practice, you could just tell there was a difference when the ball came off their bat. It was like a firecracker. That was the sound of it. And when Mike Trout hits a baseball, there is a similar sound to the way they used to hit it. And there's just a difference when those great players hit the baseball compared to even good players. And that's the difference between Mike Trout and others. And I strongly encourage you, if you ever go to a Dodger game, get there early for batting practice. Even if you don't get a chance to see the Dodgers, watch the other team's great players, because that they put on a show. It's one of my favorite things to do, going to a baseball game and getting there early and watching batting practice. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. We'll podcast the Kershaw and Forsyth interview separately, so you can download that as well. And like I mentioned, this is our only Dodger Talk show of the week. I will be on after the Dodger-Cubs game on Thursday until 5 o'clock, leading up to Clippers basketball, and joining me in the booth for 45 minutes to an hour will be the 1992 Rookie of the Year, Eric Karros, the all-time leading L.A. Dodger home run leader. Eric Karros will join me on Thursday after that game. So stay tuned for that. And like I said, our prayers and thoughts are with the great Vic the Brick Jacobs. And if you want to send your positive vibes to him, go to am570lasports.com. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday when the Dodgers take on the Cubs at 12 o'clock right here on AM570LASports.com. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.